All right, this morning we are in sermon number two of our series, Church Growth. Church Growth. Turn to Psalm chapter one. You can go ahead and turn there and be ready. Church growth. Last week we talked about what does it mean for, what does the phrase church growth mean? The first thing we have to ask is, what is a church? We talked about this last week. This is just review. So there'll be a test. I'm giving you the review, Will. It's good to see Will back in town. He's in visiting. He's currently serving in the Army in Killeen. So y'all rub his head when he walks by. It's good to have you here today, Will. So yeah, last week we talked about what is a church, first and foremost. When we talk about church growth, we're not talking about the worldwide group of Christians. We're talking about this church. So we need to be Pine Drive centric. Not always, but this sermon series we do. And what is growth? We talked a little bit last week about the church growth movement and how we back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, a lot of churches stopped asking, what does God want us to do? And we started asking, what works? How do we get people in the doors? No, that's not what it's about. Our goal is to be obedient. Our goal is to seek righteousness and let the fruit fall where it may. We don't do this in order to bear fruit. We do this, and then God decides when fruit happens. So then we talked about growing up. Growing up, how we all need to be reaching towards the heavens. We need to be growing in our worship, reaching forward, reaching out to God. What is worship? Worship is acknowledging God's worthiness. Worship is worth-ship from the Old English. It is us declaring God's worthiness to be in charge. And your homework last week was to find quiet time and specifically do that. Anybody do their homework this week? A few? Come on, y'all. Anybody do homework? Oh, man, we're going to have a test or something. What I find and what I found is that when you specifically set out to have quiet time, life gets noisier. And when you specifically set out to declare God as worthy as the sovereign Lord of every step that you take and every move that you make, all of a sudden, those are the weeks when pride starts to slide in. The devil is real. Spiritual warfare is real. So if you did not do that homework, it's really something you should be doing daily. So go back and set a goal to actually worship. All right, this morning we're going to talk about growing down. We're at growing up. Go to like slide 14 or 15, Bob. After the first blank. I don't give Bob enough information. I throw it all up there and expect him to figure it out. It's all on me. We grew up last week. This week we're going to grow down. We as a church have to be growing down. Remember, we're comparing this to a tree right now. My current nerddom that I'm seeking is just studying trees. I'm reading The Secret Life of Trees, and it's real hippie that the trees talking to each other, and it's a trip. But I can't read that book and I can't study this without seeing some obvious comparisons. We talked about growing up. First thing a little acorn has to do is decide it doesn't want to be an acorn anymore and start growing up, reaching for the sky. But we as a church, if we're going to have the same comparison, we've got to be growing down. We've got to be growing roots. Did you realize that root system, I mean, they're sort of fascinating when you start to study just the root systems of trees. Did you know that they can grow as deep as the tree is tall? I mean, that seems like an okay fact. Like, not, you know, okay, yeah, sure, kids know that from elementary school. But when you stop and actually stand and look at that tree, that's not a small thing. Did you know things that I've learned about roots that I thought they grew the same size as the canopy of the tree? They can grow 2 to 4 times the size of the canopy of the tree. If you're watering your tree and you have the little water hose around the base of the tree, you're just watering the grass. To water the tree, you've got to spread it out. And we know in the land of windstorms and hurricanes, you've seen enough trees laid over to see that massive root ball. Roots are where you find your strength. Roots are what hold you tight. They are what keep you from blowing over. It's where you find your nutrients. You guys are going to make all these obvious illustrations that I don't have to make for you. So instead, we're going to jump right into the scripture. The scripture uses this terminology about being rooted a few times, and we're going to look at a few verses. The first one we're going to look at, Psalm 1. And Christy, I had this before I saw your Facebook post. So was it yesterday, the day before, Christy posted this. This was her daily Bible study. Psalm 1, if you're looking for a place to begin your scriptural memorization, you can start here. It's a great, great psalm, an easy one to memorize, the one that many of you probably know already. It says, blessed is the man. I have to force myself to say blessed. The country in me, when you read it, you're supposed to say blessed. I don't know why we do that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The way of the wicked will perish. Hey, give me a drink of water. I need a little cup of water. Many of you heard this. I know some of the Bay Area guys probably have this memorized. It's a good one. It's also hard to miss what God's saying here. There's very little preaching for me to do here because we just have to read it. Which is probably a better sermon anyway. Blessed, just means his life is good. It means happy. Now, what does it take to be blessed? There's really two things. We're going to look at the first half of this psalm before we jump into some other scripture. The first thing it takes to be blessed, to be rooted, remember it says here that this person who does verse 1 and 2 is like a tree planted by streams of water. First thing you got to do is walk not in the counsel of the wicked. Step number one, don't listen to wicked people. Now you say, that's okay, that's pretty obvious. I don't have many wicked people in my life. Well, it's really not that obvious in 2026, is the year we're in, right? 2026? Feels like 2005 sometimes. The year you were born? Oh, not even then. Oh, gosh. Walk not in the counsel of the wicked. Realize there was a time in human history where you didn't have internet, social media. Let's go back. Television, radio, even newspapers. There was a time where, you know, say you were like Little House on the Prairie days. Many of you guys are probably from people who came here early on, you know, sort of pioneerish. Even if you weren't living in the middle of the pioneer days, it wouldn't be uncommon for the only book in your house to be a Bible. And if you had more than that, it wasn't much more than that. There was even a time before public libraries. Think about that. Like, we take these things for granted. That we can just line up, I'm going to make fun of Jessica and Linda here because they read like 75 books a month, where you can just line up fiction novels back to back to back to back to back, the same way we line up TV shows on Netflix back to back to back to back to back. Did y'all know there used to be a time when you had to watch one TV show and wait the whole week for another one to come back? Like we are so inundated with the counsel of the wicked that we don't even notice it anymore. Like, we think that we are somehow guarding ourselves from the counsel of the wicked because we take a break from social media for a week while watching TV, listening to the radio, getting on the internet, daily newspapers, daily everything. Like, you know, everybody's, well, it is really difficult to walk not in the counsel of the wicked. In today's age. And I don't think we're talking about that enough. Now, what do we do? Do we move to the woods and live in a cabin? And I mean, I would. There's not much ministry to be done by myself in a cabin. God has us in Dickinson and in the South Houston area. It's difficult. And let's not act like it's not. We are so inundated with information. I think there are probably some in here who have never had a life pre-internet, pre-smartphone, pre-all that, who just don't know what it means to be quiet. I mean, now, even when I go hunting, I take my phone. You know what I mean? In the middle of the woods, away from everybody. It's just unheard of to not have information coming at us. Now, not all information is bad. I just want us to realize that if we are going to be rooted, if we are going to be planted like a tree by streams of water, like one of those big giant cypress trees that is reaching down deep, whose roots do not let go, step number one is to not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And in 2026, that does not mean you're sitting down with a wicked person for advice. That means you're just listening to what the world has to say. Even if you're not taking the advice. It doesn't say, you just got to get away from the counsel of the wicked. And I'm not 100% sure how to do that. Because if we turn off everything, that makes us really weird. But I'm not sure that's a bad thing. But we also have to function with other people in this world, right? I don't have an answer. This is more, let me leave this at your feet and have you think about it. And you come to me with an answer, because I'm not sure. Let's do away with newspapers, and then Barry wouldn't have a job, right? We can't do away with newspapers. Although I've told you all this before, I do remember there was a pastor in the, I think it was in New England in the early 1800s, who talked about the evils of a daily newspaper, because it's more gossip than the average person should be able to handle. That was a daily newspaper. It is difficult to stop listening to the counsel of the wicked. It is. It is. And let's not act like it's not. I don't have an answer. More than anything, I just want to bring it to our attention so we can think about it and pray about it. Let's look at the next step. The next step, don't make fun of me, Will, I'm putting on my glasses. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or stands in the way of sinners, verse 2, but his delight is in the Lord. No, that's not what it says. It says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. That is meditating on the scripture. That is delighting in the scripture. That's very clear there. It's talking about the law of God. The law of God. Now, in this context, the writer of this psalm lived in a time when it would have been really uncommon to have a copy of the Torah, the Old Testament. They would have just heard it and had to remember it and had to think about it a lot. Now we all have Bibles. If you don't have one, I can give you one. I got about 30 in the office that are there to give away. And if you don't have that, I can show you the app on your smartphone so you can have 75 versions. You can get it to read to you. You can study it in Pigeon Creole if you want. Like there's so many Bibles. The delight is not just in the Lord, which is sort of the empty nature of American Christianity, right? We want to delight in the Lord. We want to say, oh, I love Jesus. I love everything about Jesus. I don't know much about his word, but I love Jesus. Well, that's not being rooted. That's not a foundation. That's not anything holding on to a stone. That's how you end up with knuckleheads like that senator that thinks God's non-binary. Hey, guys, if you're going to be a rooted person who is like a tree planted by water, you've got to delight in the law of the Lord. You've got to be in the Word. I don't like to read. I'm sorry. God didn't give us a coloring book. He gave us a book. If you have a problem with that, take it up with God. You don't have to read it. Listen to it. There was lots of human history where people were illiterate and just listened to people read the scripture. That's fine too. But we've got to love God's Word. And love it with a passion. Love it with a passion. Does that mean you have to read 75 chapters a day? No. Although it might be good for some of you to do a big reading challenge. You can do that. I've done 30-day whole Bible reading challenges or 90 days set a challenge. It could just be reading a couple of verses a day, but it's about thinking about it and delighting in it. How often do we go through our daily quiet time? We do it because it's time. We do it because we have to, but we really don't delight in it. The next thing it says, he meditates day and night on this law. That word meditate, we talked about this in the second sermon in Joshua. That Hebrew word is interesting. When I hear the word meditate, without any context, you know, I picture some dude looking like Gandhi who's like, meditating. Eastern meditation is emptying your mind. Completely emptying your mind so that you can let the universe fill you up. Well, that's pagan and unchristian. The word meditate in Hebrew actually comes from the root of the word is the verb to mumble. So you take a verse, you take a passage, you take a concept, and you say it to yourself. Not like a mantra. Not like there's magic in the words. You're not a wizard. It's like, love your neighbor as yourself. Huh. And you're driving in your truck, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. You dig into those concepts and you take a passage of scripture like this one and you meditate on it day and night. You don't have to meditate on an entire book of the Bible. Take a passage. Take a verse. And when you become that person, when we become those people who love the law of the Lord, it says, verse 3, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. Look what it says. It yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. We're like a tree planted by streams of water. And it says it yields its fruit. You remember we talked last week about church growth and actually fruit being people. It doesn't say that fruit just becomes overabundant. It says fruit comes in its season. God is still in charge of when this fruit happens. It would be really strange for an apple tree to bear apples at the wrong time. The goal is not to bear fruit. The goal is to be a healthy tree with healthy roots. The goal is to delight in the law of the Lord. This is not the only place we see this. In Jeremiah chapter 17, if you want to flip there, Jeremiah 17, I believe Jeremiah is referencing Psalm 1 when he says these words, verses 7 and 8. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Talk about peace. If we trust in the Lord, and by that it's described in Psalm 1, if we delight in the law of the Lord, if we meditate on it day and night, then we're not afraid of the drought years. Because our leaves stay green. Right now we're in a drought. I've got a beautiful little red oak in my front yard. And it's starting to turn. It's starting to look like it's fall, but it's despite all the pumpkin spice, it's not fall yet. It's not. It's still 175 degrees outside. My tree is starting to turn, and it's not because it's time. It's early. You know, I go once a year with a group of guys, and we go kayak the San Marcos River with a bunch, just a bunch of guys in June, And as you're on those, Central Texas, it gets real arid. It's not super lush. But I tell you what, when you're on one of those clear rivers in Central Texas, like the Frio or the San Marcos, or one of those beautiful, cold, clear rivers, some of the biggest cottonwood trees, some of the largest pecan trees, And it doesn't matter. We've gone in June. We've gone in mid-July. And those things are just as green and as strong as they've ever been. That's what we want in our lives. We want to not fear when the heat comes. For our leaves remain green. Not anxious in the year of drought. Does that describe your heart? I don't know. This is a question for you. I have to ask myself this question. Does that apply to me? Do I not fear when the heat comes? Am I not anxious in the year of drought, or am I? You can tell a whole lot about a person's belief system by what happens when they go through a hard time. That's why, you know, if you look at the studies, 7 out of 10 high school Christians leave God when they leave high school. They leave church, they leave their religion. Mostly, I believe, that's due to the fact that they get out in the real world, and the real world is hot. The real world is drought. Life is hard, and they wither up. Jesus talked about this in the parable of the sower. He said, some, you throw the seed on shallow ground, and it grows up really, really, really fast. But as soon as the sun comes out, it burns it to a crisp because it had no roots. My hope is that every one of us has roots. That even when the heat comes, our leaves remain green. Even when the drought years come, we do not get anxious. And that comes from trusting in the word of the Lord. Trusting in the word of the Lord. Y'all still with me? All right, y'all flip over to Colossians. I have that right here too. Colossians chapter 2. It's funny how a cloud comes over and it gets dark and I start wanting to yawn. So y'all don't yawn too, so. Starts to feel kind of sleepy in here, doesn't it, when it gets rainy? Colossians chapter 2. I'll sing and dance a little bit and wake y'all up. So. I have been glad of this rain the last week. I hate that some of those people in East Texas got so much rain, but that tree that's turning brown sure needed it. Colossians chapter 2. Paul is talking to the church at Colossae. Kind of cool. We got to stand on that hill, the hill of Colossae, when we were in Turkey. You can stand in Colossae and you can see Laodicea and Hierapolis, two other churches and towns mentioned in the scriptures. Kind of interesting. In chapter 2, Paul says to the Colossians, verses 6 and 7, therefore, now what's the rule when you see the word therefore in the scripture? You figure out what it's there for. Therefore, you'll remember that, won't you? You're over there laughing. That's a good trick. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As you received Christ. Now, he compares them here too. He says to be rooted and established in the faith. What is the first thing that he says? First thing that he says is, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. You cannot be rooted if you have not received Christ Jesus as Lord. Let me say that again. You cannot be rooted if you have not received Christ Jesus as Lord. What does that mean? That means that you've got to be saved. You've got to be born again. If you have not done that, you will never have that life where you do not fear when the heat comes. And you will feel anxious in the year of drought. Paul talks about this in Thessalonians when he was talking about when loved ones who are in Christ pass on. He says, when somebody, you know, that I love, that I know believed in Jesus dies, he says, we don't mourn like people who don't have hope. They do, but we don't. We still go through the heat, but we don't worry about it. We still go through the drought, but we're not anxious. And the first thing we've got to do is accept Christ. Now, on the one hand, if you're here today and you've never purposefully given your life to Christ, I would love it if you'd be saved today. Make that decision to give him ownership of your life. On the other hand, I'm just going to be honest, y'all. There's so many people who walked the aisle as a kid, who got dunked in the water in front of everybody, who have gone to church and been good church members for lots and lots of years. But the truth is, they don't have never felt rooted. It's because they went through the motions, but they've never truly given Jesus Christ lordship of their life. I still remember, I've told y'all before, Miss Gladys, wonderful church lady from a wonderful church family. She was, one of the older church ladies when I was a kid, and just a stalwart in the church. And at a revival, there was a man. I told y'all about revivals a couple weeks ago. Right? Was that last week? Pastor was preaching, and he made the same plea that I just made. And she came back the next night and said, "You know what? The challenge was to be still and hear God." She said, "You know, I went home and I was quiet and I realized I'd never heard God ever in my life." And she gave her life to Jesus Christ and was saved. And it changed her whole story. We cannot be rooted unless we are first in Christ Jesus. But then look what he says. Walk in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith. And there's this phrase, just as you were taught. So in Psalm 1, in order to be rooted, we have to delight in and meditate on the law of the Lord. In Jeremiah, we have to trust in the Lord. In Colossians, in order to be rooted, we have got to remember as we were taught. There's a theme here, and that theme goes all throughout the scripture here. Your foundation, the roots that hold you when the winds blow, come from learning. There's really no way around it. It comes from the work of learning as you were taught. You've got to have the right teachers and the right curriculum. Now, I mean, there's a lot of teachers out there. Honestly, we're overtaught as Christians. Again, going back to how we started this whole sermon, there was a time when you just heard your pastor preach on Sunday and you didn't go listen to 17 podcasts a day for the next 6 days of better, more well-worded preachers. Sometimes we're overtaught. We as a church, my goal when I write a sermon, my goal is for us as a collective group to think the same thing that entire week. And if we all go and get distracted with other things, doesn't mean you can't go listen to other people, but the goal is for us to be unified in one thought. Sometimes we have too many teachers, and sometimes we just don't take the teaching that we can. As you were taught. You see that theme here. Okay, let's jump over. Jump back to the book of Ephesians. He uses that same terminology in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. This is where Paul is praying for the Ephesians. It's a powerful prayer. We'll start in verse 14. Chapter 3, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." You could write 12 books on just that prayer, but we're only going to look at the second part of it. He says, so that you may dwell, in verse 17, in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In order to be filled with the fullness of God, we've got to be rooted and grounded in love. What does it mean to be rooted and grounded in love? When we say rooted and grounded in love, without any context, that sounds like we've got to love more. We've got to be more lovey. And that's not what it's saying here. That sounds good, and I see some heads nodding, and I set y'all up. I'm sorry for that. It's not what he's saying here. Look what he says. To be rooted, at the end of verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love, here's how he defines that. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints God's love. Being rooted in love is not being more loving. Being rooted in love is understanding God's love. So here we go back to that same theme. Being rooted and grounded comes from learning. Comes from information. Paul didn't say go and love more. Of course he wanted them to. Of course, that's obvious. But that's not what he's saying here. What he says here is to be rooted and grounded, you need to comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth and to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. And when you understand God's love, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Y'all see in the theme here? If we as a church are going to grow up in worship, then we've got to understand what worship is. We've got to disconnect worship from music all the time and understand that true worship is acknowledging God's worthiness. And I hope that you've been doing that, and I hope that you will do that. If we as a church are going to grow down, then we have got to maximize our understanding and love of God's Word. Our understanding and love of God's Word. I told y'all every week there'd be an announcement. Here's an announcement. It's not a small one, so here we go. Are y'all ready? We as a church are going to be committed to the study and the learning of God's Word so that we can be rooted. Rooted. Right now, we have a couple of Sunday school classes that are loved by the people that are in them, but our Sunday school is not really thriving other than those two classes. We have Sunday morning service. Remember back in the old days when you had Sunday night church and Wednesday night church? And sometimes a Friday. Anybody want to bring that back? Every time I've brought that up, I hear some people saying, yeah, I'd like that. And then you start watching their eyes glaze over at the thought of coming back on a Sunday night. Truth is, that's not required. God never instituted that. That came from the old days when you would take a wagon to church and it took 3 hours and you'd have church, dinner on the grounds usually, and then have church again so that you got the most out of that preacher because you might only see him once or twice a month. Sunday night church is not ordained by God. And the truth is, many of you that I've asked about it say, that sounds great. I'm just being honest, y'all. What we're going to do is that we're going to maximize Sunday morning. I'm going to ask something of you. And you're going to, oh man, that preacher's asking us to do stuff. Well, here's where this comes from. Before I ask anything, let me tell you where this came from. We have a church plant meeting in the gym, a young church, just a few years old. And I came up here early a few Sundays ago, a month or so ago. And I was up here, 7:30. Not extremely early, but earlier than we start. And I was thinking about this change that might be coming. And I started to think, well, you just can't ask people to do more. And then I heard kids playing in the gym at 7:15 in the morning. And the Lord smote me with an almighty smiting. And I immediately understood what he was saying. You do what you find valuable. And these people get here early. You know, the young church is not the only one that gets excitement. You know, we're the old grown-up church. We're the one that's been here almost 70 years. We should be more excited for Christ and for the things of Christ. So, y'all ready for this announcement here before we jump into the sermon? Okay, 1 month from today, we are going to begin Rooted. Rooted. You can figure out where the name comes from this sermon, and we have pine trees everywhere since we're Pine Drive. Rooted. What that means is our Sunday school, as we know it, is going to go away, and we are going to implement a rotating series of classes. We're going to do it in semesters so that it's constantly changing and rotating. This first semester, starting October the 4th, we're going to have three classes that you got to sign up for. In fact, there's going to be some sign-up sheets that magically appear on the back table, and you'll have 1 month to sign up. Three classes. One class will be taught by Miss Ellen. It'll be on the tabernacle, where you go into a deep dive on the 12 tribes of Israel as they leave Egypt and as they build the tabernacle and the holy sanctuary. One class will be taught by Mike Hilton. It'll be a discipleship-focused class to help believers grow in their faith, spiritual disciplines, follow Christ daily, how to become a more honed-in disciple. And I'll be teaching a class for new and young believers or anybody that's ever struggled to get started in the Bible and focus on Bible basics. Y'all still with me? So there's going to be three classes, and that's going to go from October until December. Then we're going to take Christmas off, and we're going to start back over in January with three more classes that you'll hear about before they start. And then we'll go till about spring break, and then we're going to treat it like school. And then we're going to take the summer off because people like to take the summer off. Well, we could have classes in the summer, but we're all on vacation. So that doesn't sound too crazy. Now, I know there are a few in the room who have utilized our Sunday school, and I really appreciate you for that. But we want to think, we want this thing to grow. We want to focus on some in-depth teaching in our church. So I hope you'll get excited about this. The biggest change is that we're trying to shoehorn too much into what we have. So this is actually going to start at 9 o'clock. I'll hide behind the pulpit now. It's going to start at 9 o'clock because 9 o'clock's really not that early. So 9 o'clock to 10:15, while that's going on for you adults, youth ministry will begin. Pine Drive Youth. Our very own Jeffrey Whitehead, he's not in the room at the moment. I think he's a little terrified at this idea. But the Lord has called him to ministry, and I'm ready. It's going to be exciting to watch him. In this 9 to 10, 15, 10, 20 hour, fifth grade and up are going to have youth group. Isn't that exciting? That's good. It's exciting. Now, tell you where this is coming from. When we had a whole handful of teenagers help during Bible school, and I asked them, where do you go to church? Three of them said, here. Okay. Youth ministry. We need a timing change to make room for this. Because the timing that we have right now nothing's available. We don't have enough time to do what we need to do to disciple and to raise up a young generation. And this is pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. It's going to take a few months probably to get some momentum with it, but I know you're going to be praying about it because I know that the heart of this church wants to see young people in this building. To do that, we've got to have a time slot for it. Because, truth be told, coming back on a Sunday night just doesn't work. Coming back on even Wednesday night. When I was a kid, Wednesday night was youth night. And now, I don't know, 75% of teenagers are in some select club or playing some ball game the world's changed. We can sit here with no teenagers and no young people and complain about how the world's changed, or we can figure out how to find the young people. So I want you to be praying for that. Be praying for Jeffrey especially because, like I say, he's not in here so I can pick on him. He's a tad nervous. But I think it's going to be great for him. In that 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have child care. Everybody fourth grade and down, we will have entertainment. They learn during this session. That's where they have classes. So everybody's going to have a class and a Sunday service. So we will have childcare available for fourth grade and down. So make sure any parents that especially like in Miss Ellen's class is going to be kind of deeper, upper level. Invite people if you think they should come. I know my class is Bible basics. Mike's class is discipleship basics. So if you've got people that don't go to church currently that might want to, there are some people who just don't find any value in church service. They feel like they're not learning anything. They're like, let me know when there's actually something useful. Okay, this is going to be useful. Let's do this. And with those changes, starting at 9 o'clock, going till 10:15. This one, I'll try not to make any eye contact when I do this last one here. Because of that, our church service will begin starting at 10:30. This is October the 4th. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, y'all don't realize it maybe from the seats, but Mike and I are always aware that there's always just a little, not enough time. We're always rushed. I always feel like I need to ask Mike to cut a song, or I'm always watching that clock. If we start at 10:30, we'll have a little bit more breathing room, and there's a possibility we could get out and get to the Mexican food place before the Lutherans next door. So, or I can just preach longer. We'll see. Second reason is that I can't think of anything in the world that starts on a 45. Do y'all know anybody other than a Baptist church? The Super Bowl starts at like 7:18 or something. I don't know. This just makes sense to visitors. For people that you're inviting to church, I've never not awkwardly invited somebody to church and said 10:45, like 45? Yeah, 45. I know. It's kind of weird. It's like almost 11, but not really 10:30. Yeah, 10:30. So this will begin in 1 month. For some of you, you're excited about this. For some of you, this is jarring. And anytime anything has changed, that can feel jarring. Church will still be church. The difference is that we're going to have some focused classes on specific topics that will be rotating so that you guys can, again, be rooted. Because roots and foundations always come from learning. And if you have not been rooted in your life, we want to provide the learning, the time of learning that can help you grow those roots. Jesus compared the idea of being rooted to a foundation on a house. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "The wise man is like the one who built his house on a rock. And when the storm came, the house stood." And if you go back and look at that passage, he doesn't say, "The one who loves me." He doesn't say, "The one who sings a lot of songs to me." He doesn't say, "The one who gives a lot of money to me." No, he said, "The wise man is like one who hears my word and does them." We've got to be a church who is committed to loving, hearing, learning, and meditating on the law of God. And we need to put our actions where our mouths are. And for that reason, we're going to be making these changes October the 4th. October the 4th. 1 month. Don't show up here early next week. You'll be the only one. All right. So October the 4th, on the back table, there are 3 sign-up sheets for 3 different classes. We've got a month to sign up. You don't have to sign up. It just helps us know as we set up classrooms and know how many are going to be in which ones. There's also a flyer in the back. Presley has worked on a flyer that looks like this. You can take it home and put it on your refrigerator. It tells about the classes. It tells about the youth ministry. It tells about the time change. I hope that you're excited about what God is doing with Pine Drive. I hope that you're excited. Nancy's already told me that anytime I change anything, it stresses her out. So even if I move the pulpit. So I did not give her any lead-in on this. That's the announcement, but let's get back to the sermon. What is our takeaway? Growing down always means knowing the truth more deeply. So if you have been lacking foundation, If you have been lacking that feeling of security, if the winds of life have been blowing you over, it's because you don't know God's word well enough. We've got to be committed to learning, not just doing. Sometimes we church folk, we get so busy doing church stuff. God is more concerned with who you are than what you do. There's somebody that needs to hear that again. God is more concerned with who you are than what you do. You're never going to impress God with what you do. He wants to be in a love relationship with you. A close love relationship with you. If you're going to be rooted, it's going to take that commitment. My prayer is that, one, that you'll remember to do the homework from last week. As our musicians make their way up, that you'll remember the homework from last week. My prayer for this week is that if maybe you've let your love of the Word of God slip, let's repent and rekindle. For some, it might have just been a couple of days, a couple of weeks. For some, you might not have really loved God's Word in 20 years. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. And he is like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season. His leaves do not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. My hope is that you prosper in your relationship with the Lord. Let's all stand together. Lord, we love you. Lord, we want to be rooted in you. Lord, as we get closer to your return, it feels like the winds are blowing harder. And as culture changes, the winds are blowing harder. Lord, help us to know how to grow our roots deeper so that we do not fear in the heat and we do not grow anxious in the year of drought, but that we would be rooted and established in love so that we might comprehend the greatness of your love, so that we might be filled with the goodness that you offer to us, Lord. Lord, we love you. We commit this to you in Christ's name. If you need me, I'll be down for you.